Chapter 13. An Unwanted Invitation. For Stephanie and Max, the next 2 days were wonderful. They swam, ate good food, and went for walks. Max visited more buildings and churches. Stephanie was not interested in these, so he often went on his own, while she sat at cafes with her book. One day they went shopping in Genoa. Stephanie bought some shoes and a new red dress. Max bought a new jacket. "Italy is a wonderful country," said Max. "Good food, beautiful architecture, and great clothes as well." He was enjoying this holiday more than he could have thought. On their last afternoon, Max said, "This flat almost feels like home. I feel as though we've always lived here." He didn't tell Stephanie directly that he was enjoying living with her, but he had begun to think they should move in together when they went back to England. He was waiting for the right moment to talk about it. Stephanie had begun to think the same thing. The more she got to know Max, the more intelligent and more handsome she thought he was. He might not be the greatest swimmer, and he had never been on water skis, but he knew so much about architecture and art. The days of their holiday passed quickly. They hadn't seen Carlo or Ruth again, and Stephanie began to relax. No one would ever know about her evening with Carlo, she thought. In fact, she rather liked to remember the evening, and she thought of times in the future when she and Carlo would meet and make love. It was good to think she had a serious relationship with Max, a part-time lover in Carlo, and a beautiful flat to stay in Italy. Max had never asked anything about the evening of the festival, and Carlo had not phoned since then. She thought that Carlo understood it was best not to see each other at the moment. On their last day in the village, Max decided he would take Stephanie out that evening to an expensive restaurant he had seen near the beach. It would be the perfect place to ask her to move in with him when they got back to England. Max felt sure that a beautiful sunset, a sea view, and good food and wine would mean she couldn't say no. But early that evening, there was a knock on the flat door. It was Carlo's mother inviting them for a meal.
"I saw you earlier eating in the bar, and I decided it was time you had a real Italian home-cooked meal," she said.
Stephanie thought for a moment, but she couldn't say no. The old woman would be hurt.
"Thank you," said Stephanie. "That would be lovely."
When the old woman had gone, Max looked at Stephanie.
"What did she want?" he asked, although he thought he knew already.
"She's invited us for dinner this evening," said Stephanie,
not looking at Max.
"And you accepted?"
"Well, I had to," said Stephanie. "It wouldn't be nice to say no. She thinks we haven't been eating good food in the bars and restaurants."
"How does she know?" asked Max, feeling angry.
"She's seen us," said Stephanie.
"But I wanted to take you for a meal at a really good restaurant," said Max, feeling very angry.
"We can't say no," said Stephanie. "She's Carlo's mother, and we're staying in his flat. She'd be very hurt if we didn't want to go."
Max knew Stephanie was right. The trouble with being given something free, like a flat to stay in, was it meant you had to do things you didn't want to do sometimes. You never really got anything free in this world. He knew that. There was always something to pay. And a meal with an old couple was a small price.
"Well, she's a very good cook," said Stephanie.
"Oh, well," said Max, "we'll just have to try and enjoy it."
They got ready for the evening. Stephanie put on the red dress she had bought in town that week.
"You look beautiful," said Max.
"You don't look too bad yourself," said Stephanie. Max was browned from the sun, and it went well with his dark hair. He had put on his new jacket, which made him look very handsome. Stephanie felt very pleased. To her surprise, when they went to the old couple's flat at 7 o'clock, it was Carlo who opened the door.
"Oh!" said Stephanie,
her heart sounding so loud that she was afraid someone else might hear it.
"We didn't know you would be here."
"It's my mother's house," said Carlo. "Naturally, she asked us to come too."
"Hi," Max said, happy that Ruth was there. He had thought everyone would be speaking in Italian all evening, and he wouldn't understand a word of it.
"Come in," said Carlo.
Ruth and the children were playing in the sitting room. Ruth was wearing jeans and a T-shirt. She looked very pretty tonight, Max thought. Carlo stayed close to Ruth all evening. He put his arm round her and kissed her, and Ruth looked at him with her eyes full of love. It was as if Carlo was trying to show Stephanie how well he and Ruth got on. He didn't talk much to Stephanie. Stephanie tried not to think about it, but she couldn't help feeling bad. She knew she was looking attractive this evening, and she wanted Carlo to say something. Max had said her dress made her look like a film star. "Here, Thomas," Carlo's mother was saying to the little boy, "have some chocolate." "But he hasn't had his dinner yet," said Ruth. She had gone red with anger. Carlo's mother looked a little sad.
"Okay," Ruth said. "Look, Thomas, Nonna wants to give you some chocolate."
But Stephanie could see Ruth didn't like Thomas having chocolate before dinner.
"How silly," she thought. "Just a little chocolate. Poor old woman. She just wants to be kind to her grandson."
"What a lucky boy," Stephanie said, and Carlo's mother smiled at her. Ruth looked at Stephanie angrily, but Stephanie didn't notice.
"Let's eat," said Carlo's mother, and they sat down at the table. "You're a good swimmer," Carlo's father said to Stephanie, as they sat round the table eating fresh pasta.
Stephanie looked at him, surprised. She didn't know he had seen her swimming.
"And you are very good at diving," laughed Carlo's father. "You're like one of the Italian boys."
"Doesn't Max like diving?" asked Carlo's mother.
"Goodness," thought Stephanie. "They've seen everything we have done since we arrived here. They know how we spend our days and where we eat. What else do they know?" she suddenly thought.
Chapter 14. Back in the Bar. After the meal, Carlo asked if they wanted to go for a coffee at the bar. He wanted to get out of the flat. Ruth and his mother never got on, but it was worse with Stephanie there, he thought. His mother seemed to like Stephanie more and more, and that, he knew, was difficult for Ruth to watch.
"Thank you so much for a lovely meal," Stephanie said, kissing Carlo's mother on each cheek.
"It's nothing, my beautiful," said the signora.
But Stephanie noticed she didn't say goodbye to Ruth. The two couples went down the narrow street to the bar, Thomas running ahead. Carlo carried the baby in his arms. Carlo and Ruth looked like the perfect couple tonight. Seeing Carlo for the first time since their evening together, Stephanie found she still wanted him. But he was not looking at her at all. They sat round a table in the bar, and Luigi took their orders.
Luigi was a different character tonight. He was friendly and funny with Carlo. He liked Ruth, and he played with Thomas. Finally, Carlo said, "Well, we must be going." He had his arm round Ruth.
"We probably won't see you two again," he said.
"You're leaving tomorrow, aren't you? So it's goodbye." "That's strange," thought Stephanie. "It sounds as if he's saying goodbye for the last time. What does he mean by, we won't see you again?"
Carlo held out his hand and shook Max's hand. "It's been good meeting you," he said.
"And you," said Max.
"And I can't thank you enough for the flat. Of course, I should thank Stephanie, too, for being your friend in the first place."
Stephanie looked away.
"I hope we'll meet again one day," said Max. "Perhaps you could all come and stay with us in England."
There was a difficult silence.
"One day, maybe," said Carlo.
Then they all kissed each other goodbye, and Ruth and Carlo disappeared up the street.
"Let's have one more drink," Max said to Stephanie. "I feel like staying out late tonight. We've hardly had any time alone together this holiday."
"Okay," said Stephanie. She was no longer worried about Luigi. After all, he had been so friendly this evening. Stephanie ordered a hot chocolate, and Max ordered a glass of brandy. They sat at one of the tables outside. A light wind blew things about the street, and once it blew over the empty bottles on their table.
"The weather's changing," said Max.
A lot of people had gone inside the bar, away from the light rain which had begun to fall. They could hear waves crashing onto the rocks below.
"I was thinking," Max said, looking at Stephanie across the table and taking her hand. "It's been such a lovely week here. We've got on so well. Better in some ways than in London. How would you feel about moving in together when we get back?"
Stephanie looked at Max. She was still thinking about Carlo's final words. So suddenly she felt happy she had Max. After all, he was far more handsome than Carlo.
"Oh, Max," she said, kissing him. "I've been thinking the same thing."
Just then Luigi came over to take their empty glasses. He stopped, his hands full, then spoke in English.
"I expected to see you at the festival the other night. Where were you?"
Max laughed.
"I was ill in bed," he said. "But Stephanie was there with Carlo and Ruth."
"No," said Luigi, looking at Stephanie now.
"They were not there. I looked out all evening for Carlo, and he wasn't there. And when I asked Ruth, she said she stayed at home with Thomas."
Max looked at Stephanie.
"Where were you?" he asked. "I never asked what you did that evening."
"Oh," said Stephanie. "Carlo and I decided not to go to the festival. We decided it wouldn't be fun without you and Ruth."
"By the way," Luigi said, "I found this on Bianca Beach."
And he gave something to Stephanie. It was her watch.
"I found it on Wednesday morning," said Luigi.
"Well, goodbye."
And he went off looking very pleased with himself.
"Bianca Beach?"
Max asked, suddenly feeling rather uncomfortable.
"Have we been to Bianca Beach?"
He knew they hadn't, and wasn't sure why he was asking.
"I don't like that waiter," Stephanie said angrily. "He's got a bad look about him. Come on, I've finished my drink. Let's go."
"Wait," said Max.
"If you and Carlo weren't at the festival, and Ruth wasn't with you, then you must have been at Bianca Beach," Why didn't you tell me? Stephanie began to feel a little frightened. She looked up at Max, trying to think of something to say.
I hope it's not what I'm thinking, said Max, suddenly feeling very jealous.
You didn't. You and Carlo.
I don't believe this.
Hey, Max, said Stephanie. She was frightened now. Max was not going to forget this if he found out the whole truth.
Don't start getting jealous.
But this time, Max knew he wasn't being jealous for nothing.
How could you?
Shouted Max.
Carlo's got a wife and children.
Why don't you say, how could he?
Said Stephanie back to him, suddenly very angry.
It takes two, you know.
Because I don't care what he does. I care what you do,
Max shouted.
Shh, said Stephanie. Everyone's looking at us. Let's go. We can talk somewhere else.
As they got up to leave, Stephanie realized for the first time why Ruth hated living in a small village. It was as if everyone knew everything about her, and they were never going to let her forget it. They walked towards the beach without talking. The waves were really big now, and they could hear thunder in the distance. Then Stephanie said,
Max, you must understand. It means nothing to me now.
We're talking about 2 days ago, said Max.
How can you do something one day and then say it means nothing 2 days later?
Stephanie couldn't answer.
Were you always lovers?
Asked Max, remembering now his thought that it would be difficult for any man to be just good friends with Stephanie.
Only once, said Stephanie. I was telling you the truth when I said we were just friends when he offered me his flat the first time.
So when were you lovers before?
Asked Max.
2 years ago. The first time I met Ruth, there was an evening...
You mean you waited until Carlo was married to Ruth before deciding to sleep with him?
Max was beginning to understand, and he didn't like what he was learning about Stephanie.
I was afraid I was going to lose him, said Stephanie.
But you had already lost him, said Max. He was married to Ruth.
Oh, you are so stupid, shouted Stephanie. The trouble with men, she said, is there is always one rule for them and a different one for women. These things happen, you know.
Then she turned and ran off into the night. Chapter 15. Lovers or Friends? It was Saturday evening, but Stephanie had nowhere to go. She sat on the sofa looking at the telephone. Max had not spoken to her on the flight home, and at Stansted Airport, he had kissed her goodbye and gone to get a train. A week had passed, and he had not telephoned her. How could a holiday end so badly? She wondered. It had all been going so well with Max before the holiday. She thought about their last evening in Italy. It seemed a million years ago now.
Max had asked her to live with him, and now he wasn't speaking to her. She wanted to cry. She had had a bad week. She couldn't help thinking about Carlo. If she had never kissed him that evening, they would still be friends. Now she felt she had no one, no friend, and no lover. She picked up the phone, and although she thought Max was probably not at home, she called his number. She waited. Finally, he answered.
Max," she said before he could speak. "I love you. Please believe me."
Max didn't say anything for a few seconds, then said, "I can't."
"Well, at least, Max, can we still be friends?"
"Just friends?" asked Max.
"Yes," said Stephanie. "Just good friends."
To her surprise, Max started to laugh. "Do you know what a good friend is?" he asked.
"Of course I do. I've got lots of good friends," said Stephanie.
"Including Carlo," Max said.
"Carlo was a good friend, but we destroyed it. I understand that now. I feel so lonely. Last week you were both my friends. Now I've got neither of you."
There was a silence. Was Max feeling sorry for what had happened? "Stephanie," he said, "I'll tell you what a good friend is. A good friend is someone who is honest with you."
"Okay, Max," said Stephanie. "Maybe I'm not good at being good friends, but you know we were good lovers. Didn't you enjoy being with me?"
"Yes, I did," said Max sadly. "But it's over, Stephanie. I can't have a relationship with a woman I can't trust."
"You can trust me," said Stephanie. "I promise I shall never let it happen again."
"It's too late," said Max. "I'm sorry." Stephanie put the phone down. She wanted to cry. Then suddenly, she felt angry. If it wasn't for her, Max wouldn't have had a holiday at all. It wasn't fair that she should be left with nothing. She went and looked in the mirror.
"Well, perhaps not nothing," she thought, looking at herself in the mirror. "I still look pretty, and I've still got other friends."
She picked up the phone again. She called a friend, a woman this time, and asked her if she wanted to meet her in a club later that night. She then put on her red dress, made up her face, and went out of her flat.
She didn't need Carlo and Max, she thought. Tonight was Saturday night. She wasn't going to sit at home all evening feeling sorry for herself. She was going out to have a good time.
Here's the beginning of another book at this level.
The House by the Sea by Patricia Aspinall. Chapter 1. Old Friends. It was lunchtime. I'd been in the Jolly Sailor pub in West London for about half an hour when I saw a man sitting by himself in a corner of the room. Although I didn't know his name, I was sure I knew him from somewhere. He had grey hair, and he was looking out of the window at the River Thames. I don't usually go to the pub at lunchtime, but it was the birthday of one of the other journalists at work. There were four of us. I asked them if they knew the man sitting in the corner. They looked over, but no one knew him. I don't know why, but I just kept looking at him, trying to remember. Finally, when we were all about to go back to work, the man turned round and looked straight at me. He knew me, I could see, because he smiled at me. Who was he? Then I realised it was someone I'd been at university with 5 years ago. I couldn't remember his name immediately. He looked so old. He started to get up from his chair and I walked over to him. As I got closer, I remembered his name. "Carl," I said, "good to see you. What are you doing here?" I held out my hand. "John, what a surprise. It's been such a long time." He shook my hand and then put both hands on my arms. "It's good to see you. You know, you're the first person I've seen from university for a long time. Those were good times, weren't they?" It was clear that Carl was pleased to see me, but at first he wasn't sure what to say to me. He looked so different from the young, happy student I used to know. We were the same age, but he looked a lot older than me. His hair was going grey, and his face had a worried look. He was also much thinner than I remembered him. Carl pointed at the seat he had just left. "Let's sit down," he said. "I'll get you a drink." I had to go back to work, but Carl was an old friend, a good friend. We'd had a lot of fun together at university. I couldn't say no. "Yes," I said. "Okay." I told my friends from work that I would come back to the office soon. They left, and I waited while Carl bought two drinks. It was hard to believe this was the same man I'd been to university with. He looked so white and thin. Had something happened to him? Maybe he's just been in hospital, I thought. Because I'm a journalist, I always ask questions. But when Carl came back with the drinks, I didn't say anything about the way he looked. "So, Carl," I said, "I've just been trying to remember the last time we met. I think it was at your wedding. That was quite a day, wasn't it?" Carl just nodded his head and smiled in a sad way. I didn't know what else to say, so I kept talking. "Isn't it terrible that we haven't seen each other since then?" I said. "How's Linda? Have you got any kids yet?" Carl stopped smiling and looked at me strangely.